Hello, friends. It is good to be with you all. Happy Friday. I think the last time that I got the privilege of teaching junior high was, sometime last year. Does anybody remember what my introductory illustration was? You all bring it up so much that I feel like somebody's going to say it. What was it? Yes, it was about the alien. Christina the alien. Christina the alien will not be making an appearance in today's sermon. I apologize. But I'm sure y'all could come up with some weird way to inject her into our sermon. Anyways, please turn to John, the book of John. We're looking at chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. So if you don't know who I am, again, my name is Layton. I have the privilege of serving in our high school ministry. So usually I'm with the older high schoolers, but today I get to be with y'all. You might know that we just got back from youth retreat. So we had a really good time, and I'm really excited for y'all's retreat, but also really excited and thankful that I get to open God's word with you today and tell you what God says about friendships. With that, let me pray for us, and then we'll get into it, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this privilege of coming to your word and seeing what you have to say about our friendships. And it's a privilege that I get to be here to communicate what your word says and get to rejoice in the friendships that you've blessed me with and get to share about the work that you've done in my life. And it's a privilege that even though I am not a regular preacher in this ministry, we as a ministry, a youth ministry, get to keep growing together in this area. So I thank you so much for all the other people who have been preaching so faithfully from your word through this series. And I pray that this would just be another encouraging and helpful addition to this Back to Basics series. So thank you, God. You're so kind to us. I pray that you would open up our hearts, help us to receive and marvel at these wonderful truths that you've blessed us with. And I pray that it would be transformative, that it wouldn't just be head knowledge, but that it would really go deep into our hearts and transform the way that we think and live for your glory. So thank you, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so I wanted to start by showing some pictures of me as a middle schooler so that you know that I also am human. I was a young person. I am a young person, but I was young like you. I was a middle schooler. This is me as a middle schooler. I was super weird, and I really liked scarves. I don't know why. I don't know who told me scarves were cool. I also really liked vests and blue. This is me living in Japan as a middle schooler. I would go for the summers and go to school. That's me at youth group. I'm raising my hand all the way in the back, so smiley. I don't know why we were green. That's me and my cousins. So I was a very weird and normal young person. And I also had and wanted friends. But I was also really awkward, and I really struggled with friendship. I was super scared of people. I was super worried about what people thought of me. I was always thinking like, oh, what if something that I do makes people uncomfortable with me? Or what if I say something that makes people mad? Like, will people not want to be my friend anymore? Or will that ruin my relationships? And I think as I was reflecting on that time of my life, something that I realized was I just wanted to know that somebody cared about me. I really just wanted to know that I wasn't alone. And I'm sure that you all feel the same way too. Everybody wants friends. That's a very normal and good thing. It's a very biblical thing to want friends. You're not alone in your desire for friends. Like, for example, it's biblical in that in Genesis 1 and 2, At the very beginning of creation, God made Adam, the first man, and God looked at him and said, like, it's not good that you're alone. It's not good for you to be alone. And so he made another human being, Eve, a partner, a helper, a friend. So it's very clear in the Bible that God has made us for relationship. He's made us to be relational beings, and we're not meant to go through life alone. So as one author says, your ache for friendships doesn't mean that something is wrong with you, but that something is very right with you, end quote. You're human, and God has made humans for relationships with him and with another. And you all probably know that friendship is one of the sweetest gifts that God can give us in life. But I think you also know that friendship can be the source of a lot of difficulty and a lot of pain, a lot of struggles and stress and worries. So, for example, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have ever felt left out of a friend group? How many of you have thought, I wish I could be friends with that person who is just so cool or so smart or so beautiful or whatever, but they don't like me? You've probably been hurt by something a friend has said to you, or maybe you feel like you don't have as many friends as other people and worry, what does that say about me? So everybody wants friends. Everybody knows that friends are good. And everybody has felt the pains and even the dangers of friendship too. So all of us want to belong. All of us want to matter to someone. None of us wants to be alone. And I think a lot of times we think that we can find those things. We can matter to someone. We can belong if we just find the right friends, or if we just have enough friends. And so I think it's very normal for us for friendships to be a big deal, but I think that we usually think about friendship wrong. I think usually we think about friendship wrong. Usually when we're thinking about friendship, we're thinking about what we can gain. We think, I want somebody who I can have fun with to be my friends. Or we evaluate people thinking, like, do I want to be friends with this person? Do they make me look cool? What's in it for me? We ask those kind of questions. And oftentimes, our friendships are just really about me. They're self-serving. What I want, what is good for me, what makes me happy. That's how friendship works for us a lot. And in contrast to us, Jesus's approach to friendship is very, very different. Instead of always having his eyes on himself and what he wants and what was good for him, Jesus was always looking to the good of others. He wasn't self-focused, he was others-focused. And so Jesus tells us in the Bible that if we really want true and lasting, strong and joyful friendships, then we should look to him and imitate the way that he loves his friends. Okay, so in our passage today, we're going to look at how Jesus loves his friends, and let that be a model for how we love our friends. Okay, we're looking at Jesus and how he loves his friends, so that's a model for us as we love our friends. And then I also want to give you a picture of what friendship with that sort of Christ-like love can actually look like in real life from some examples from my life. So let's read our passage, John 15, verses 12 and 13. Keith, if you don't mind going to the next slide. Oh, maybe one more. Sorry. I think I put it out of order. There it is. Okay. This is John 15. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So here in John 15, Jesus is in Jerusalem at the very end of his earthly ministry, and he gets together his friends, his disciples, and he tells them his last words before he goes to the cross. And this command is right in the middle. He commands them, love one another, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. And Jesus is specifically talking about what he's about to do on the cross. He's specifically talking about how he's going to literally lay down his life for his friends. And he says that there's no greater expression of love than that, than laying down your life, than sacrifice. And so essentially what Jesus is saying is, I love you. I love you. And I'm going to show you my love by laying my life down for you. And therefore, I command you to love one another, love your friends by laying your life down for them too. I love you. I lay my life down for you. Love others by laying your life down too. And so that gives us our example, our framework for how we should think about our friendships. Jesus loves us and laid his life down for us, and therefore, we should lay our lives down for others. Okay, so let's dig into that a little bit more by looking at our first point. Love your friends because you're loved by Jesus. Love your friends because you're loved by Jesus. So in our friendships, we're all looking for something. Like I mentioned, maybe we're looking for belonging. We're looking for someone who understands us and listens to us, someone who cares for us, who doesn't abandon us, maybe someone who helps us feel less alone. We are all looking for love. But what if it was the case that we all had all of those things in a person? How would that transform friendship for you? What if you already had belonging, understanding, someone who listens, someone who cares, someone who loves you perfectly? Well, it turns out that you actually do have those things in a person. Jesus says in verse 12, I have loved you. I have loved you. And the simplest truth that we repeat and tell you all the time in youth ministry has the greatest impact on your life. Jesus loves you. And he proves his love by dying for you. This is so beautifully summarized in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. It says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if you grew up in the church, you know this story. You maybe even know this passage really well. It's the gospel, the good news that saves us. It's the reality that you and I are not perfect. We sin, we lie, we make mistakes, we are bad friends, but we were made to worship God, and yet we reject him, and we live for other things instead of him. We live for other things and even ourselves. And because of our sin, we deserve punishment from God. We deserve to be outcast. We deserve death. And despite all of our mess and our sin, God still loves us. And he shows us his love by sending Christ to die in our place and bring us back into friendship with him. And so think about how crazy this relationship is. Like, hypothetically, imagine your best friend were about to get hit by a car. How many of you would risk your own life to push that person out of the way and save their lives? You can actually raise your hand for that one if you want to. What if it were your mom who were about to get hit by a car? Would you risk your life? Yeah, right? But then what if it were the bully that punched you at school yesterday? Would you risk your life for them? Think about that. Would that be an easy choice for you to lay down your life for your enemy? I think naturally for most of us, that's not something that we would want to do. We wouldn't risk our lives for people who have hurt us, people who have sinned against us. And yet that is exactly what Jesus did. And he didn't just risk death. He experienced death for his enemies so that he could save them. He sacrificed his life for us. Jesus died for us when we were still sinners. And that's how you know that Jesus' love is real. That's how you know that Jesus' love is real. Now, how does this gospel, this truth, this reality that Jesus really does love us, shape the way that we think about and seek out friendship? How does it change friendship? And I think the most important thing, which kind of summarizes this point, is that everything that we might look for in a friend, we can find perfectly in Jesus who loves us. Everything that we are looking for, everything that we're hoping for in friends, we can find in our true friend, Jesus. Now, I want you to just think about it. Like, Jesus is God. And you all know that God is omniscient, which means he knows literally everything. Everything about you, everything about the world. But that means that he knows every sin that you've committed. He knows about everything that goes through your mind. He knows every insecurity you feel. He knows everything about you, even your deepest, darkest, hidden sins. And yet Jesus doesn't abandon you. That's a good friend. So often you and I maybe push away those who are awkward or those who are outcasts. We push away people who hurt us. We push away the people who are hard to love. But Jesus doesn't push us away. He isn't afraid of darkness. He isn't afraid of sin. He instead even draws near to us so that he can heal and forgive and change us and overcome what keeps us away from him. He draws near. He comes closer. He pursues us. And doing that comes at great cost to him. It requires him to lay down his life. And yet that cost is so worth it to him because he loves you. In Jesus, you have the perfect friend, the friend who will never leave you or forsake you. He is your perfect protector. He provides for you daily. He is the source of your hope and your joy. He's everything that you need. And therefore, the love of Jesus frees us to love sacrificially. The love of Jesus frees us to love sacrificially. We have everything that we need in Jesus, so we can freely give ourselves away sacrificially. And so when we think about loving our friends, we love our friends not to get love, but because we already are loved. We love our friends not to get love, but because we already are loved. So that truth is the foundation that we need in our friendships. I think there's some blanks in your notes that you can fill out. Make sure you fill those in. We love our friends not to get love, but because we already are loved, okay? So that's our foundation for how we think about love. But then we can move into what we actually do. Now that we know how we should think, now we can move into what we do. And so our second point is love your friends by loving them like Jesus. Love your friends by loving them like Jesus. So because we see Jesus' love and how he lays his life down for us, his friends, we can then in turn lay down our lives for each other. Now, like I said at the start, usually we think of friendship about us, where we're at the center. But Christian friendship is not really about getting. It's not about me. It's actually about giving. It's about giving. We're not at the center, but Jesus is at the center. And when Jesus is at the center of our friendships, that's when we start to get to enjoy all the good blessings of friendship as God has designed them to be enjoyed, okay? So sometimes sacrificing and laying our lives down, however that might look, sometimes that's going to be hard. It's going to look like swallowing your pride and asking for forgiveness, even though you were hurt first. It's going to look like walking into a room and going to talk to people who maybe make you feel uncomfortable or aren't the first people you would go to talk to. It's going to look like giving up your preferences and your comforts for other people. But I love how Pastor David says that the happiest that you will ever be in life and in your friendships is when you're not thinking about yourself. The happiest you will be is when you are not thinking about yourself. Now, that kind of sounds backwards, right? Like, if you want to be happy, then stop thinking about yourself. Think about others. And we should remember that and look at the reality that Jesus doesn't ask, what is good for me? But instead, he asks, what is good for those I love? And that question leads him to lay his life down for us. And so that's the kind of thinking that leads to happy friendships that are filled with joy and glory to God because we put on display the heart of Jesus. Okay, so I want to give you just a few practical ideas or tips, pathways that you can follow for loving like Jesus, how to love like Jesus. And all of these are ways that you can practice laying your life down for your friends, okay? So the first is keep Christ at the center of your friendships. Keep Christ at the center of your friendships. And that is both Christian friends and non-Christian friends, okay? Keep Christ at the center of your friendships. Now, all of our friendships should have this aim of helping each other see and appreciate and savor Christ. Okay, so we're trying to help one another see who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and to appreciate him and then live like him. Okay, that's true for all of your friendships. And that means for your Christian friends, or for example, if I'm thinking about my Christian friends when I'm thinking about keeping Christ at the center, we're gonna keep Christ at the center by putting on Christ-like love, by showing one another love, by caring for one another, by being humble and praying for one another so that we can appreciate Jesus and so that we can grow in faith. So maybe we're gonna talk not just about fun and surface-level things, but we're gonna talk about what God is doing in our hearts, what he's teaching us, how he's speaking to us through his word. We're going to talk about how we need prayer, what's hard in life, and how we can support one another in those difficulties. Okay, so we're going to walk side by side together toward him. So I have this picture that I asked ChatGPT to make for me, which kind of helps me, or this is what I think about when I'm thinking about my Christian friends. Okay. And we're linking arms, or we're putting our arms around one another, and we're headed toward Jesus, and we're telling each other, look to Jesus. And maybe there's going to be some roadblocks along the way. Maybe there's going to be some things that make us stumble or hurt, challenges that we have to overcome along the path as we set our hopes and set our eyes on Jesus. But we're going to be there for each other as we face those difficulties and as we face those challenges. Okay, so this is what Christian friendship looks like. But I also said, remember, that this is true for our non-Christian friends too, okay? We're trying to care for our non-Christian friends by keeping Christ at the center of our friendships too. And what that looks like really is, it means that I'm going to I'm going to love people like Jesus. I'm going to lay my life down for them so that I can show the kind of character and the love that Jesus has, so that maybe, if God wills, they would turn away from their sins and turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. So I want my non-Christian friends to see Jesus too and to turn to him in faith. And I think something that's really obvious but maybe challenging for us is that when we're with our non-Christian friends, that means that we shouldn't pretend that we're not Christians. We shouldn't pretend like we don't know who Jesus is and we don't know his love. We shouldn't hide the fact that we know the gospel from other people. But we should be looking for opportunities to tell others about the love that Christ has for us. So the point here is that we're trying to help others and one another know Jesus' love and his forgiveness and his goodness, and then grow in faith and joy and godliness together as friends, no matter if they're, or especially with other Christians, but also for people who don't know Christ too. We're trying to help them see Jesus too. Okay, so keep Christ at the center of your friendships. But B, also, don't make friendship transactional. Don't make friendship transactional. Sacrifice for your friends with no expectation for them to sacrifice in return. I think for myself, sometimes it's tempting to think like, okay, Jesus loves me, and I'm going to be a good friend like Jesus, so I'm going to lay down my life for people. And then maybe if I just lay down my life enough, or if I just sacrifice enough, then people will see how much I love them and then reciprocate. They'll, like, love me back because I love them so much. Like, maybe they'll just see how good of a friend I am and want to be my friend back because I've laid my life down for them. And that's really just not the case. Like, it doesn't always work out that way. And what we're doing in those moments is we're making an idol out of friendship and making friendship our goal instead of loving and living like Jesus our goal. So don't expect people to lay their lives down for you when you lay your life down for them. Jesus didn't live that way. He still laid down his life even though his best friends abandoned him. In his moment of dire need, when he was arrested, they deserted him. And you might even remember Peter, who refused to admit 3 times that he even knew Jesus. His best friend rejected him and left him. And yet, Jesus still went to the cross. Jesus still died for their sins. And so your friends are probably going to fail you. Friendship is still going to be difficult sometimes. And yet we still lay down our lives for the sake of others because we have everything, because of our security in Christ. Okay, so that's B. C, focus on being a good friend. Focus on being a good friend before worrying about finding good friends. Okay? So a lot of times I think we're thinking, our baseline is like, oh, who is my friend? Or how can I get more friends? Or what do I do if I don't have friends? But I want you to switch your thinking, not to how can I find friends, but how can I be a good friend? How can I be a good friend? Okay? And I gave you 5 different tips for ways that you can be a good friend, and they come straight from the Bible. But the way that I wanted to kind of help illustrate these is by telling you some stories about my friends. And the ways that they have been good friends to me. And I hope this is kind of fun and encouraging, but also that it helps you see that this is real and it's possible. It's possible to be a good friend because of the love of Jesus. So first up, be an example of faith and godliness to your friends. And the person that I thought of when I was thinking about this scripture passage and 1 Timothy 4 was Braden. So Braden serves in youth ministry. He's a very faithful servant and a very good friend to me. But when I think of Braden, this is the passage that comes to mind, 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. So Braden and I met when he was in college. I was far graduated, so he's much younger than I am. But Braden and I had really similar experiences in college. And so I just remember this one conversation where he came up to me and just asked me really good questions about like how to handle a specific situation in his life. And I remember just being so struck in that moment by his faith and his humility and his just a willingness to come and talk to me and ask me those questions. And my respect and appreciation for Braden and his faith has only grown to this day. Braden's faith is so, so inspiring to me. And I think it's mainly because like Braden is really strong in a lot of the ways that I personally am weak. And I love how Braden's life, the way that Braden lives his life, makes me want to love Jesus more and live for God more faithfully. So for example, Braden gets up really early in the morning to spend time with Jesus by reading his Bible. And he never grumbles about it, or at least he never grumbles to me. Maybe he's grumbling to God, but he never grumbles to me, praise God. A few weeks ago, was it last week? A few weeks ago, Braden was like, I'm going to commit to loving you by waking you up in the morning when I get up so that we can read our Bibles together. Because I was sharing with him like how I've been discouraged and reading my Bible is really hard. And so he, just out of the love, abundant, generous love to me, decided that every morning he's going to come and just bang on my door until I like am groaning and waking up like, oh, I don't want to do it. And he's like, get out. We're going to read our Bibles. Well, he doesn't talk to me like that. He's very gentle. But he's like waiting for me. I know that he's waiting for me. And I know that he's going to be there waiting, ready to read our Bibles together. And on the first few days, I really wanted to strangle him. But as I remembered why he was doing it, like he's laying down his life, going the extra mile to care for me because he loves me, because he wants me to love Jesus too. There's lots of other things that I love about Jesus and Braden. But one thing that I really appreciate about Braden and a way that I'm inspired by his faith is Braden actually prays before meals. Like, he doesn't just do like, dear God, thank you for this food. I'm hungry though. Amen. Like, it's not just like a thing that he checks off to like get it over with. But Braden will actually pray really humble, Christ-centered, like God-glorifying prayers that really bring to God his needs for the day. And so many times we're praying together and I'm just like, Braden, please, I want to eat. Let me eat. But I'm like so challenged and so rebuked in that moment because I know like Braden like knows that his Heavenly Father loves him and cares for him and wants to provide for his needs. And so he's going to go, we're going to pray to our God who loves us. And we're going to take that seriously and take all the time that we need for that because it matters. It really matters the things that we take to God in prayer, even if it's right before a meal and you're hungry. So I have been so inspired by Braden, and Braden is such a good friend to me in the way that he doesn't let his age, his youth in comparison to me, keep him from being an example of faith to me. So that's a way that you all can be a good friend by being an example, setting an example of faith to your friends. Okay, second, invest in both the surface level and the deep. Enjoy the surface level things and the deep things in friendship. And the person that came to mind when I was thinking about this was our faithful youth servant, Michael Hsu. So Michael has been one of the one of my most precious friends in life since college. And so we met here at Lighthouse in Beacon. And we both love music and leading music. We love photography. We love seeing beautiful things. There's so many things that we love doing together that are really like normal and simple and maybe not like Christian. And we really love sharing all of those things together. So typically, like when we think of friendship, that's the sort of things that we're talking about, right? Like we want friends that we can have fun with and hang out with and have fun conversations with. Yeah, naturally, those are the sort of things that we might think about. But since the beginning of our friendship, Michael has showed me that our common interests are not what truly bind us together as friends. The fact that we both love photography or both love seeing beautiful things or like watching anime together or like spending time with one another, those things aren't what truly binds us together in friendship. It's Christ who binds us together in friendship. It's our common faith and union with Christ. We're both saved by the blood of Jesus. We're both in Christ together. And because we're in Christ, we belong to one another. And we can enjoy both the surface level things, but we can also enjoy the really deep things. And I love how Michael lived that out to me when we were first becoming friends in the way that he would open up his life to me. He would just share hard and sad, challenging things that he was going through with me and welcome me into those things so that I could point him to Christ. And as he did those things, as he welcomed me into his life, I also was encouraged to walk with him and open up my heart to him too. So yes, Michael and I have a lot of fun together. And like just the other day, we just lounged on the couch together and hung out while I was playing Pocopia, which I'm a little bit obsessed with, but Michael and I were just spending time together, and it was really chill. But we also enjoy really deep conversations, and we enjoy sharing about our struggles and sharing about what God is doing in our hearts, sharing about what's going on in life and how we see God's hand in it. Now, there is nothing that Michael doesn't have access to in my life. He can ask me any question, everything's on the table, like, and he has access to everything. And he knows my sin struggles and my discouragements and my fears, and every day he is helping me, he's walking with me and helping me love Jesus, even in the midst of all of those things. That's the sort of friendship that we get to enjoy with other believers in Christ. So my encouragement for you is to enjoy both surface level joys while also accessing and facing the deep struggles and deep treasures of life together too. So, that's number two, invest in friendships that are both surface level and deep. Number three, use your words to build up, not tear down. Use your words to build up and not tear down. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And the person who most recently has been encouraging me in this is Katie. So Katie's not here tonight, but please encourage her next time you see her. Ironically, these are the only pictures that I have of Katie, because she's a very recent friend in my life, but also a very huge source of encouragement to me as of late. Katie is always one to serve in really small, hidden ways. She is like always buying meals for people or asking how she can be helping. And we work together in youth ministry, so we spend a lot of time together like serving. And something that I really appreciate about Katie is that she's really good at using her words to build other people up. So, for example, this week, she sent me a message about how thankful she is for how my heart breaks for people who are overlooked or who are bullied. And she is always on the lookout for those kind of moments where she can strengthen and encourage and build other people up by saying those sort of things and by being grateful, by being thankful. She is really careful about not saying things that are discouraging or unkind. And I think this is something that that your age group really needs to work on. You all really need to think about building up people with your words. You need to think carefully about how your words can be a weapon or a bandage. So wounding words might be like calling people names or criticisms or sarcasm or even like harsh joking and banter. But healing words can be words of forgiveness, encouragement, and care. Things like, thank you, I appreciate you. I'm sorry that I did this thing that hurt you. Please forgive me. Healing words can also look like even saying hard things in love so that your friends grow to be more like Jesus, like saying, like, I see this sin in your life and it concerns me. Or I want us to grow in this way together. So I want you all to be careful about how you choose your words to build up and not to tear people down. Okay? That's number three. Use your words to build up. And then finally, move toward people who are different from you. Actually, sorry, two more. Move toward people who are different from you. Ephesians 4. So the first thing that came to mind when I thought about people who are different from me, have moved toward me in love, I thought of Keith. So Keith and I met in 2019, and boy, are we different. So for example, just as a story, so this is our first interaction. I'm walking literally outside past the deacon desk, and Keith is sitting there at the deacon desk with a map open, like a physical map. And I am walking by him and just like, whoa, this guy has a map out. And he's like also like dressed really nicely, which I was a little bit uncomfortable with because it's like obvious that he's new. Like, like we don't dress really fancy, but he was dressed really nice on the day that we met. And so I like greet him, I introduce myself to him, and we're talking, and he sees my water bottle, which has a baby on it. It's like a sticker of a baby. And this baby was not my baby, obviously. It was my friend's child. And so he's like really confused about this baby because like, why does this guy just have this water bottle with a sticker of a baby on it? Like, whose baby is that? Is that your baby? If it's not your baby, then why do you have that sticker? That's kind of weird. But like, if you know me, like I love making stickers of babies, and that's not weird because I love people and I love babies and I get really excited about kids. So if you knew me, it makes a lot of sense, but this guy's judging me for my sticker bottle and I'm judging him for having a paper map open, like use Google Maps, are you ancient? And Keith and I are like having this moment of like intense, like, ooh, we are polar opposites, and like the lightning sparks are like flying between our eyes, and it's just like really awkward and tense, and eventually I just have to walk away because I'm like, whoa, this guy's really weird and really intense. Like Keith is so different from me. He is super engineer-brained. He loves math and physics and science. He's a total scholar. I am very much art brain. Like, I love music and language and art and being creative and feeling things and crying. Keith is right-handed. I'm left-handed. Keith is very direct. Leighton is sometimes mostly very indirect. Keith really loves saving money. I really love spending money. Keith prizes efficiency, like doing things fast and quickly with the least waste. And I prize sentimentality, like doing things in ways that are slow and careful and kind to people and really take feelings into account. And our personalities are super different too. Like, I cry at anything, and it's really hard to get Keith to cry. Our interests are different, our backgrounds are different, like we are just so different. And yet, Keith has moved toward me in love and has become one of my most precious friends in life. He has moved toward me and asked me hard questions. He's gotten to know how I think and what matters to me and what hurts in life and what is hard, but also what brings me joy. He has not let our differences become a barrier to our friendship because he knows that I'm in Christ, that he's in Christ, and he wants to enjoy our union in Christ by encouraging one another. So move toward people who are different from you. And then it also connects to the last one. Care for your friends in good times and bad times by lifting them up when they fall. Lift up your friends when they fall. So this is just like an example of a way that Keith has moved toward me in love despite our differences. But there essentially was a time a few years ago when I messed up really bad. And I had hurt people. There were sins that I needed to ask forgiveness for, things that I had done that were bad. And I was afraid, really afraid of what would happen if I confess those sins and ask for forgiveness from the people who I'd hurt. And Keith was there for me through that challenge. He cried with me, to my surprise. He didn't let me run away. He didn't let me hide my sin. He didn't say, it's all okay, it's not a problem, just forget about it, we'll just pretend it never happened. He didn't beat me over the head and say, you're such a horrible sinner, nobody's ever going to forgive you, nobody will love you. In that moment, when I was despairing and struggling with what I had to do and walking in obedience and faithfulness to God, Keith was there to help me get back up on my feet and walk in the light. Keith was there to love me and listen to me and bear my burdens and point me to Jesus and remind me of the forgiveness and the love that I have in him. So these are five different ways that maybe you could think about moving toward your friends in love and laying down your life for them. Five different ways that you could be a good friend. And I know this is a lot, and I know maybe there's still a lot of questions for you about, like, how do I make those kind of friends? How do I find those friends? What do I do practically in everyday life? What if those friends never come? What if it's hard? And that's where your friends in youth group or in your small groups are here to talk through those things with you, especially your small group leaders. But I want you to remember and know that, one, making deep Christian friends takes time. It does take time. But even more so, don't worry, because God sees you. He's already moved toward you in love as your God to give you your closest, truest friend, Christ, who will never leave you and never forsake you. He's always working all things together for good in your life, so you can trust him as you try to live out this sort of Christ-like love. So I just want you to look around at the people in the room. There are lots of people in this room right now who could be your friends. And instead of asking, how can I find good friends? They're already here. So instead, start by asking, how can I be a good friend? Okay, let's take that first step together by being good friends. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the privilege of sharing this text and talking about how we can live like Jesus in our friendships. I thank you so much for the ways that you've blessed me in my friendships, but I also remember the many years of being a youth student where I was so awkward and so uncomfortable and just really struggled with friendships, and how the turning point was knowing the love of Jesus and realizing that I had everything in him and was able to move toward other people in love, not to get from them, but to be Christ to them, to give, to sacrifice, to lay my life down for their sake. So I pray that that would be the turning point for everybody's friendships here too, that you would help us to stop looking inside to what I want and what I think I need, and instead help us to turn out, and to look to Jesus and to look to others, to stop asking, how can I get good friends? How can I find my friends? But instead to ask, how can I be a good friend to others? How can I love others? How can I lay down my life for others? So thank you, Father, for the love of Jesus Christ, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And that changes everything. So would you impact these students' lives with that gospel and transform them so that they would be good friends to one another and allow the love of Christ to abound in their friendships for your glory. So I pray these things in your precious holy name. Amen.